So today we got a lot of great stuff. And I just want to kind of do a couple of recaps here and kind of looking forward to what's going to be happening today and what's going to be happening tomorrow. Lots of good stuff. And I'm telling you, I'm so excited about this recession, okay? And even if there wasn't a recession, even let's say I was totally wrong and all the numbers aren't true, what we're talking about here today works inside of a recession and it works outside of a recession. This is good business practice, okay? And you need to make sure that you're building your business on sound principles. You need to make sure that you're listening to someone who has been there, done that multiple times. I mean, I've created two seven-figure professional service businesses, CPA firm, bookkeeping, and sold them both, right? So I know where the bodies are buried, I know where the landmines are, and I can help you to avoid all of those. And that's why we're here. And a lot of the people that are on stage, that's what they're trying to help you to do, is to avoid those landmines, right? So make sure that you're listening to people who've been there, done that, right? So here's what we're going to do right now. I want to give just a quick shout out. I know she doesn't really want me to do it, but I first met our first speaker 5 years ago at Bookkeeper Boost. Is Daniel in the audience? Yeah, there he is. So I don't know if you remember this. I met you physically. We'd had some conversations. Daniel, you and I had a call webinar thing where we kind of, you know, talked about the business and you had just started it. And then in they walk and they were in these little beeper things. I'm like, what's the beeper things you're wearing? They're like, well, we can't tell you. And there was deadpan straight at me. And I was like, oh crap, is this like CIA or something here in the building or what's that? And then Daniel kind of goes, you're doing research for like some Pew Research or something like that following around. Yeah, and it's just really great to see the evolution of their business. And I'll let Melissa tell her story and kind of how she's gotten here. But we talk about listening to people who have been there, done that, and have the battle scars. I think, Melissa, you have more battle scars than Daniel has. Would that be true, right? Not only that, because, I mean, just amazing what she has been able to do, building on Daniel and what they're able to do together as a team. I've talked to several of you in here that are considering or have a husband and wife dynamic, and you're like asking me the secrets. I have no secrets. All I have is Kelly, right? And I have to tell you that that's something. Who was I speaking with? Was it Elvin? Yeah, speaking with you yesterday, I told you to tread lightly, right? I said, hey, put your toe in the water, like toenail maybe, tip of it, right? Because that's something that you have to watch out. So it's a very good dynamic if it works, and it's not so good if it doesn't work. Ask me how I know. This is my second. They have a great, great business, Bookkeeping by Painters. They've done an amazing thing. They were one of our first really big success stories. And Melissa has built, Daniel has built. I think they complement each other very well. I'm excited. Let's welcome to the stage Melissa Honan.
Thank you, Ben.
You're welcome. Thank you.
And
can we hug?
We can.
Okay.
And I do want to apologize ahead of time for what's about to happen on this stage. So part of it is that yesterday, Ben Day mentioned, you know, when you go to a conference, you need to get your one thing and then just leave. And Gabrielle, I'm sorry, everyone's going to leave after my talk. And that's uncomfortable. So I'm really excited to be here. I look forward to this all year. I came to BKX last year, and it's just been a whirlwind since. So my family and I, right after BKX last year, we decided we were going to move to Costa Rica, because we're sane. And so we had done a lot of research, and we had done a lot of planning, and we knew that there were going to be a few places that we would want to check out, but we didn't want to settle right away. So we had this great plan to take our 2-year-old and our 4-year-old and travel around Costa Rica. And so we had a 3-month plan at the time with tentative up to 6-month plan. We were going to go to a different area of Costa Rica for a month at a time. And I am not the spontaneous type. I'm also just a planner. I thrive in consistency. I thrive in structure. I'm very intuitive. I like to have my own home. I like things in particular places the way that I like them. I am actually diagnosed OCD. Not the like, oh my God, I'm so OCD, like legit OCD, like it's a problem. I'm medicated for it. And so I struggled. I'm not going to lie. It was a rough year. And so I was really looking forward to coming here and telling you guys about everything that we did to grow our business, because this is like my home. Absolutely love everything that Ben built. Everyone asked me today, like, are you nervous? And I was like, no, I'm just like speaking to my friends. That's what you guys are. So we're moving around Costa Rica, and we're in different Airbnbs, and of course, for those of you that have children, you know that they are just disgusting, and they pick up every possible germ that they can pick up. So as we're moving around Costa Rica, we're picking up a virus every time we move to a new location. And so at the time, it was a few months in, I was getting worn out, I was tired, I just really wanted a home, I was tired of moving, and of course, we had another virus. This time, it was interesting, we had a stomach virus going around in the house, and I will try to tread carefully here, trigger warning for two reasons. I will most likely swear on stage. If you have tender ears, please leave now. Secondly, what I'm about to tell you is absolutely disgusting, and if you have a sensitive stomach, you should also probably leave now. So we have a stomach virus going around the house. It's only hit my two kids. It's coming out both ends, all right? It's like for those of you, and I was just talking about this with my team yesterday, for those of you that have ever caught puke in your hands, this is like one of those moments, right? And like a lot of you have. Like where is the BBL stay-at-home mom group? We've all done it like while on a Zoom call, you're like catching vomit, like, ah. So it was that type of virus, but luckily, it had not hit me or my husband. My husband is the healthiest person in the world. It's annoying. He never gets sick. I do, but I had not gotten it by the grace of God. So at the time in my business, I had really worked myself out of account management. I have not done bookkeeping in years. I never should have done it. And I am primarily in a sales role. I love sales. I thrive in sales. It's what I love. Like I said, feeling like kind of like, ugh, right? So I'm not on my game, right? But I have a bunch of sales calls. It does not matter that I have not been sleeping this week because my kids are vomiting all over the place. It does not matter. I don't want to reschedule them because it's like, it's just going to push the pain to another day. I am good at sales. I have had sales management experience for 15 years. I could do sales in my sleep. A lot of times I do. And so I decide I'm just gonna do it, right? So I get on a call with a prospect. For those of you that don't know, I work with painters. So I get on the call with a guy to talk about his painting business, and I would love to say that I am on my game despite everything that I've been going through, but I was not. This was a shitty sales call. This is one of those things where I had to rely on my notes, like on my tools, my techniques. Like I've got a toolbox of things like, oh, okay, you've got an objection. Like, okay, this is how I would overcome it. Like I'm pulling up multiple screens, like trying to figure out. I'm like, oh yeah, that like awkward stall where I can't build rapport. And it starts to get, you know, a little dicey. And I get into the part of my sales speech where I'm going to go over the services that we offer, our packages. We offer three different packages. And this is like, I got this down, right? Like, I can't mess this up. I almost said the F word. I cannot mess this up, right? And so I'm going over our Primer Plus plan, which is, you know, monthly bookkeeping and monthly reconciliation. And at this moment, I audibly fart. And because I'm speaking, and it was a surprise fart, I did not mute the Zoom call. And from the look on this prospect's face, he definitely heard the fart. But he's a gentleman. And he mentions nothing, and I get to continue on. like that's just part of the Primer Plus bookkeeping plan. That also comes with receipt management. And I think that's it, right? So I just keep going. I'm like, all right, I can do this. This isn't the worst thing that's ever happened to me. I can do this, whatever. And I start to feel like I'm going to again. And I was like, oh, my God, I realized that the first fart was a warning. That maybe I did not luck out and not get the stomach virus. But okay, I can do this. Sales calls, if you know, a bad one, 5-10 minutes, right? Good one, upwards of an hour. It can be anywhere in between. Like, I do a 30-minute call, but I block 30 minutes afterwards just to take the pressure off. You don't have to talk to me for an hour, but I have it because if it's good, it's going to take an hour. If I close them on the call, it could take up to 90 minutes, but I do try to get it done in an hour. And I'm figuring, you know, it's not going that good. It's not going to take that long, right? But apparently this was a magic fart, and the call started to get better. Like, it broke the tension in the room or... And it was like, now we have rapport. Like, I'm relatable. He's like, I'm interested. Tell me more. He's asking all sorts of questions. And I feel like I have to fart again. But this time I had warning and I could mute the Zoom call. Thank God, right? So I mute the Zoom. And I'm like, all right, I can just fart. It's fine. But like I said, the first one was a warning for what was to come. Which was that I did shit my pants. Am I on stage right now? And I was like, well, it was muted. Okay. But I'm the type of person that wears my emotions on my face. And so I think, okay, he's not noticing. It's fine. He's asking his question. And except for then he says, are you okay? And in this moment, I think, okay, I've got one of two options. I can be honest and say, no, I need to go. Let's, you know, reschedule this call. It wasn't going well anyway, right? Or I can lie and say I'm perfectly fine and sit in my own filth for however much longer this is going to take and maybe close this sale. And as I have 15 years of sales experience, this is the first. This is the first. But as I have 15 years of sales experience, I'm a natural salesperson. And of course, I want to close the sale, so I chose the latter and decided that I was going to just forget that that just happened and keep going. And so I said, no, I'm fine. Can you repeat your question? And I'd love to have a happy ending to the story where I say, I closed that sale. But I didn't. I didn't. What does that have to do with delegation, you ask? Well, not a whole lot. Things don't go as you plan them, okay? And when it does come to delegation, you can delegate just about anything, all right? And I'm going to tell you how to do that today. But what you can't do is delegate shitting your pants. Only you can shit your pants, okay? And if you do that, I can guarantee you guys right now that everything that you think from a sales perspective that could possibly go wrong on a sales call, first of all, that won't happen, but you sure as hell probably won't shit your pants, so it really can't be that bad, okay? So we're going to get into how to delegate, develop, and grow your business. And now you guys realize that I'm a human being just like you. We all accidentally shit our pants during a sales call. I'm relatable. If I can do this, so can you. So who am I? I'm Melissa Honan. I'm the CEO of Bookkeeping for Painters. This was not my idea, I tell you, being CEO or starting Bookkeeping for Painters. My husband started Bookkeeping for Painters. I told him it was a terrible idea. All small businesses fail. And he was like, no, I think it'll be good. And I was like, all right, good for you. I'm going to keep my job. And then 4 months later, it was going really well. I had come home crying for like the 10th time. And he's like, let's do this. So I did. And Ben mentioned something about like working with your spouse. We did that really well for a while. Like, I didn't want to be in management anymore. I was like, you be the boss. Like, I'm going to be the employee. That is a good setup for me. And then about a year in, I ended up, I was pregnant with my son. My son was born a month early, and he had not bad complications, but he had some complications. And I just was honestly just sick of Daniel not listening to all of my really good advice, and was like, yeah, I'm done. All right, this is your business. Have fun. And I left for a little bit. But what came up is a few years later, my son's two, I'm pregnant with my second daughter, my first daughter, second child, and Daniel's about to deploy. And we had plans. Like I said, we plan and we plan. And we had plans for how this would go. We had a CEO in place. They were going to run the business. I was just going to do invoicing. You know, I got kids, I'm pregnant, going to have a baby, husband's deployed. And that didn't happen. CEO quit about 2 weeks in. So I'm 5 months pregnant, have my son, husband's deploying. What am I going to do? I was like, well, I guess we can just close the business. I don't want to do this. This is shitty. But then, no, somebody talked sense into me, and I was like, okay, I guess I'm CEO now. But obviously, I'm pregnant. I have a two-year-old. My husband ended up being deployed for almost 20 months because of COVID. Lovely. So he deployed about a month after we found out I was pregnant. He came home. My daughter was a year old. And she's so cute. Speaking of puking, she was puking right before I came here. So it just keeps on coming. So I decided to step in as CEO. And when I stepped in as CEO, I was like, well, I just, you know, Daniel was very clear. He's like, you just have to maintain what we have. If we lose a little bit, it's okay. But just try to keep it steady. Who here knows me? Do I keep things steady? No. I was like, okay, all right, that's no problem. I'm going to double it. I'm going to double the business before you come home. And then I'm going to double it again. And I did. I doubled the business before he came home. And then the next year, I doubled it again. And that's my plan. And for people that ask me, like, oh, what are you going to do? I'm going to keep doubling it until I don't want to anymore. And then who knows? But right now, we're at about $1.5 million in annual recurring revenue. And that does include tax services in that number. We're at about $1.3 million with just bookkeeping services. Okay, we have 100 plus clients, and I recently fired all the shitty ones. So they're really cool. These are like really cool clients. Yeah, my team's clapping. Yeah, talking about battle scars. I've made some mistakes, and I'm here to tell you how to not make those mistakes for those of you that listen. I am the co-host of the I Love Bookkeeping podcast. Woo-hoo. If you don't, please subscribe so Ben doesn't fire me. It's literally the best job I've ever had, sorry guys, because I just get paid to talk to Hannah, who is fantastic. And on the side, I have been a mindset and business coach and have plans of launching an e-course on sales specifically for introverts, because although it might not appear it, I am an introvert. People just panic me. I'm actually a naturally shy introvert. Where I don't like talking to people, I have no idea what to say, I'm socially awkward, and I have been known to literally just forget how to human in many conversations. But with 15 years of sales management experience, I have, like I said, those tools and techniques to know how to do it, right? Now, I'd like to say that, Costa Rica was amazing. It was, right? I'm sure. But we actually decided Costa Rica wasn't for us. For a variety of reasons. You think we're going to go like all of the expats, just move back to the United States. Nope, we're going to keep on going, and we have moved to San Juan del Sur, Nicaragua. So that's where we currently live since January with our family. My son's in school. We have a wonderful nanny that helps with my youngest, and it's absolutely amazing. So if any of you have any questions later, you want to know anything about Nicaragua, I know she does, yes. We work remotely for a reason, guys, right? Like, that's a lot of the reason, like, why did we start this business? We don't want to do the grind. We want to work remotely. We want to be able to travel, and we just decided to take that up. We do that. Next, I want to tell you a little bit about myself, just so you know how insane I am. That's really going to help me. And I am obsessed with Rothy's. If you are wearing Rothy's here today, I've already seen you. One of you has a Rothy's purse, okay? It's really weird. I'm wearing them. I don't want to say how many I have because my husband's in the audience, but if you know, you know. If any of you are in the Rothy's Facebook groups, please don't be. I'm literally insane. I also am obsessed with skincare as well, so if you want to talk to me about that. I'm giving you reasons to come talk to me, okay? Because apparently people think that I'm unapproachable, but now I shit my pants and I'm giving you like specific things that you can do to come talk to me about, okay? I'm also super opinionated, if you didn't already know. So I'm going to say a lot of things today. That's going to be very opinionated. Take everything with a grain of salt. I am not everyone's cup of tea. I could use a lot of, you know, things here. But the biggest question I get asked is, how did you grow a seven-figure bookkeeping business? And first of all, this is where you guys just get up and leave right now, okay? I listen to Ben Robinson sometimes. And it's funny because I was actually talking to him like a couple months ago, and he was like, I have this one piece of advice. If I could give everybody, I would charge $20,000 for it. It is the magic pill. This is how you can grow a seven-figure business. This is the answer. Does anybody know what it is? You should fucking niche. Like, seriously, guys? Like, I know niche. If I get any more feedback about me and Hannah debating how to say it, like, okay, we're just going to keep doing that because it makes me happy. But seriously, though, how did I grow a seven-figure bookkeeping business? It was easy because I niched in painters. And my job wasn't figuring out everything, right? It was figuring out what painters want. Again, I'm not everybody's cup of tea. My job is to be painter's cup of tea. And that made things a lot easier. Now, that's a big part of it, but the second part of it is people sitting there at that table right there, except for, like, some of you. I don't know you. But, like, those five people, that one, let's see, I don't know. Jody, where are you? Hey, Jody. Jody worked for me before. She's awesome. Love her. My team. I could not have done it by myself. So for those of you that are just on your own, or if you have a team and you're struggling and you're not sure how to grow, you're going to need to delegate and use your team. I could not have done this by myself. I could have done it without Daniel, but not without Holly. Not without Holly. And I really want to give you all the tools on how to do it. So originally, my full program that I was going to go over was the key to growing a seven-figure business is how to delegate, develop, and grow. And then I realized, because I'm chatty, which I'm already at 25 minutes, I got to speed up, I'm really chatty that I was not going to be able to go over all of this. So I figured, I was like, I can either go over a couple of things and you guys get a general overview, get a takeaway, or I can dig into one really deep. And that's what I want to do, because I want you to leave and be able to do this. Like, because I'm telling you right now, this literally is the key to growing a seven-figure bookkeeping business. I know for a fact that I could start another one and do it again by following this, okay? Quick overview is mindset, delegation, development, growth, and consistency, okay? Now, we're going to talk about delegation, obviously, and the power of delegation. Now, who here delegates? All right. Who here doesn't? Oh, yeah. All right. Okay. Why not? Because you can just do it yourself. All right. It won't get done. And if it does, it won't get done right. To that, I have to say the audacity. I don't have anyone to delegate to. And other people's perception. If I delegate, are they going to think that I'm just lazy and I don't want to do it? Like, my job's to work, right? Does anybody relate to this? Anyone felt like this before? I am a recovering micromanager. So, yeah, I've felt all of these things. Especially if it won't get done, it won't get done right. Which, again, the audacity. okay? But why you really don't delegate is a little bit different. And then we're going to go back, and I'm going to go over why you should delegate. But the self-enhancement effect, okay? This is a manager's tendency to evaluate a work product more highly the more involved she is in its production. It's fucking psychology. You think that if you're involved, things are going to be better. So, is that true? It might not be. Because there's also the faith and supervision effect. When people have a tendency to think work performed under the control of a supervisor is better than work performed without as much supervision. Okay? Because you feel like if you're there, everybody else is more productive. I'm the boss. I'm holding it down. My team knows for a fact I am the least productive when I'm around them. I love them too damn much. But why you really don't delegate is a lot of the reason, we're going to circle back to the other stuff, bad experiences. We've all had bad experiences where we delegated and it didn't get done, or we delegated and it didn't get done right. Is that because we delegated it? No, it's because we delegated it wrong. And what you're saying at the end of the day, whether you have a team or not, if you do not delegate, this is what you are saying. Whether you're saying it or not. You're saying that I lack the faith in your capacity. That's pretty shitty, right? Like, can you imagine if somebody actually said that to you? Like, especially if you do have a team. Like, who here has a team? Okay? And have you ever wanted to delegate something, but you were like, I don't know. You're basically saying that your team isn't capable of handling that work. And if your team's not capable of being delegated to, then they're not the right team. Because I know for a fact, based on actual experience, my team can handle literally anything that I do. Because it's about delegating effectively. And also because they're fantastic. So the big thing here is you don't have the tools necessary to effectively delegate because of those bad experiences. Because we've all had bad bosses, right, that didn't have faith in our capacity, that didn't know how to delegate, that were lazy and just didn't want to do work. And so you thought that's what management was. You thought that's what delegation was. You weren't delegated to, you're not going to delegate. Being a boss is like Brooke said, we're working 80 hours a week or we're not doing it right. It's just not true. Because you can't do everything yourself. And if you try, like Brooke said, you're going to burn out. You're also not the best person to do everything. I'm not. I'm not a good bookkeeper. Don't put me near a tax return. I'm not a good account manager. I don't like doing it consistently. I need to be the best CEO. And a lot of you in the room need to be the best CEO of your company. Not the best bookkeeper. Not the tax professional. You shouldn't be, and you're probably not. Again, I always go back to the audacity that we have to think we are the best person to do everything. And I'm calling myself out, and you. I'm like calling you out too, because I know this is true. We're not the best person. I know that the best person is on my team. And that's what I do. I hire people smarter than me to do the smart people thing. My job is to do the rest, have funny jokes, ruin team meetings. And when you delegate, this is going to build trust among your team. It's going to build morale. And that team is going to just get stronger. Empowerment, development, those things I go into a little bit further. And this is something that when I finish it, because I haven't, I will make sure that you guys get a copy of the development portion of this. But taking delegation a step further and making sure that it can be everlasting. We're going to talk about that a little bit more. So I'm going to go back here again about why you don't delegate, okay? I can just do it myself. No, you can't. It won't get done. Yes, it will. It won't get done right. Maybe not as right as you want it to, but, like, right enough, okay? So, like, anybody think that they're a perfectionist? Hey, Gabrielle, thanks for being honest. Don't be. Again, I have OCD. You have no excuse. I am diagnosed crazy about perfection, all right? And you can do it. You can delegate, it will get done. It might not get done right the first time, but if you do it effectively, it will get done right. I don't have anyone to delegate to. We're going to go through that because I know that's true, especially when you're just starting out. You might not have money. You might not have enough clients. What can I do to get some of this off my plate? Okay. And other people's perception, I don't give a fuck what anyone has to think about that, and you shouldn't either. Don't look at what other people are thinking about you. Think about yourself, and the rest will follow. You know, that's my life advice. What should I delegate? So I did not come up with this. I'm going to steal that line from Brooke. This was Sarah Blake, Jenny Blake. I don't know. My notes went out. Jenny Blake. I did come up actually with like a really good acronym, and then I was looking around the internet like I do, and I found a better one. So I decided to use this, but you'll never know the original. All right. Her name's Jenny Blake. And her recommendation was to conduct an audit of tasks, which this is something, it's like not, you know, it's not revolutionary. We all know. What do you do? Write it down. And that's what you need to do, is you need to figure out what to delegate. And so the best way to do that is, like Ben Day said, take some mushrooms, go out into the woods, write it down. Okay? And what we're going to go over is kind of the general overview here. I'm not going to go into super big details, because at the end of this, you will get access to some information for you guys to do this on your own a little bit further. But we're going to go through tiny, tedious, time-consuming, teachable, terrible at, time-sensitive, and then my favorite. That's not my job. And the tiny things are those little things. Like Brooke mentioned yesterday, they take a couple of minutes here, a couple of minutes there. You might as well do it. But like she said, they add up, okay? So what you want to do is do a task audit of all those tiny little things that you're doing that tend to add up. They're not big. They're small. They're called tiny. It's not, you guys can figure that one out. Does anybody have any questions? What's tiny? Do you have an idea? What do you have? Big things? Yeah, that's exactly. Yeah, thank you. Tedious. Tedious tasks are mindless tasks. Copy and pasting. For me, a tedious task is updating our time tracking software. Like you get a new client and, you know, the client typed their name in wrong and you got to go in and you got to update it. And then like, you know, a zap broke. It's just like tedious and it's annoying. And it's just like, it's just a thing that's got to get done. Okay. Those are things that typically will require a little skill, right? Like you can delegate those to pretty much anybody. Then we have time consuming. Okay. Time-consuming tasks, those are going to be your big projects, right? And you think, okay, I have this really big, important project. How can I delegate that, Melissa? You can't. What you can do is break it up into little chunks and delegate parts of it, okay? And so, for instance, I had a big project. I had to speak here, right? I was like, I have to be, you know, charming and memorable and all this stuff. I don't have time to do everything, and so, you know, it's kind of a combination of tedious and time-consuming. I delegated the creation of the slide deck. I didn't do it. I have no idea what's on here. Teachable. This is my favorite thing to do, by the way, but if you think about any of your tasks that are actually teachable, so, for instance, anything that you learned in BBL, which is literally everything and all of the things that we do, hey, guess what? You can delegate it. It's already written down for you. So do that, okay? Teachable, things that you could teach people how to do. And it's a really good idea, which I'm going to like kind of diverge from my plan here, but as you are doing all of the things that you are doing, just pop Zoom on, pop Loom on, take a video of it, because guess what? That's going to teach it. You don't have to actively teach it. You can inactively do it, right? This is my favorite one, which is the things that you're terrible at. Like bookkeeping, right? Just me. Oh, God, I cried so much. We still have that client, too. Terrible at, or that you just hate doing, all right? What do you guys hate? What do you hate doing in your business? No. Invoices. Oh, yeah, I just delegated that to Rachel. That was the best thing I ever did. Man, we had so much outstanding AR. I sucked at that. I did not keep up with it. You know, QuickBooks, they do that thing where the payment doesn't go through, and then it shows up in, like, the dashboard, and then, but it shows that it's actually paid, and you have to click into it, and it's then it says, like, that the payment wasn't processed, and then you got to go do the, you know, returns. I don't know. I suck at bookkeeping. I don't even know what to do. I've asked Holly to teach me this, like, 6 times. She's so patient. Anyway, I'm terrible at it, and I delegated it. And what I did is I recorded a bunch of videos of what I did. I didn't even write down the process. I literally just recorded videos of me doing it and was like, hey, can you write this down? Because you can even delegate that. Okay? So terrible, terrible at. And actually, what I want you to do right now is I want you to write down the one thing that you hate doing. Because we're going to talk about that later. But what do you hate doing in your business? None of you say sales. That's great. And if you hate it, you're wrong. Time sensitive, especially for those of you that work with clients, especially those of you that have lots of client meetings, and then all of a sudden something pops up and it's got to be done. Like the issue that I had yesterday, which was somebody that was a little bit angry, and you kind of just got to do it. But I can't do it. I'm on stage speaking right now. How am I going to do that? I'm going to delegate it, all right? If it's got to get done and you can't do it, somebody's got to do it. You got to delegate it. And this is my favorite. That's not my job. That's like the worst thing that you can say as a manager, but it's not. The way that we see it with bad managers, it's bad, right? But with good managers, what you're going to have to stop yourself from doing is going back and trying to do all of the jobs that you already delegated. Greg called me out on this a few times. He's like, that's not your job anymore. And I was like, yeah, but I like it. And he's like, get out. I'm not invited to the integrator meetings. I distract them with all my fun jokes. You have to think about, what is my job now as the CEO? I delegated invoicing. I'm not going to go into the system and start messing with Rachel's invoices, okay? So you have, this is going to be the big thing, is that once you do realize the power of delegation and you're consistently delegating and you have it down, you have to stay the course. What was that whole thing about consistency? You can't go back to your bad habits of trying to micromanage. Okay, if it's not your job anymore, it needs to stay not your job. Okay, so who you should delegate to, all right? It'll depend, right? Is the right person on your team? Do you have a team? There's a lot of questions you're going to have to ask yourself through. Don't worry, I made this easy for you later. How do you know they're the right person? What are their areas of expertise? What are their areas of opportunity? Okay? Have they been successful at delegation before? Have they not? Because sometimes that's a good one. Did they fuck it up before? Let them do it again, all right? Because it's probably, could potentially have been your fault, right? That, at least that's me. That's my anxiety. It's always my fault no matter what happens, all right? What are their goals? Do they want to grow in their position? Do they want to grow in your company? Do they want to leave your company? Either way, again, depending on what you're delegating, that could help. If they don't want to grow with your company, why not? You have to ask the questions to yourself. And if you don't know, ooh, have a conversation with them. That's the biggest thing, is I don't, on my team, stray away from hard conversations. And I will never assume what they are thinking, what they want, what their goals are. I'm going to just ask them. So if you're going through and you're like, oh, man, you know, I think Todd would be really great at doing XYZ, but I'm not sure what his goals are, and I think they're this. Just go ask Todd. Hey, Todd, what are your goals? Oh, yeah, Heather, I asked you 3 months ago, but guess what? 3 months is a long time. You might want to ask again. Have quarterly reviews set up. Talk to your team. They are the answer to everything. And if you don't have a team, you can hire one. You know, just it's super easy. Hiring is my favorite thing to do. It is the worst. It is the worst. Or you can outsource. Remember, we're talking about the tiniest tasks, those tedious tasks, mindless tasks. That is a great thing to find on Upwork, all right? That is a great thing for your teenager, okay? And guess what? You don't have to pay them. Don't tell the IRS, but you don't. If they're your child, free labor, that's why we had them. Okay? There's things you can do, and I don't want to just get on this track because I'm, like, of course, probably running out of time already because I'm too chatty, but this is not just on business tasks. I want you to also think, if you hate doing laundry, if that's the one thing, so keep thinking in your head of all the things that you hate to do in the day. If you hate doing laundry, and if you can delegate laundry and do another sales call that week, that works, right? Especially, again, BBL Stay at Home Mom Group, we got a lot of stuff going on, right? So think about the personal things that you can delegate to free up your time for the business things as well. Oh yeah, I already covered that. Do they have a history of success on your team? I want to touch on that just a little bit more, which is that, of course, if they have a history of success, I know if I give Holly something, it's going to get done right. I just do. I know. There's some other people on our team I don't. I'm not going to name names because some of you guys are here. Greg. And that doesn't mean that I never delegate to Greg again, does it? He would be thrilled if I didn't. But that means that I have to adjust because people are complex. And just because I, through the power of delegation, I have experience in delegating doesn't mean that I always do it right because people need different things. It's flexible, right? And you need to be flexible. And so what you always need to do, and we'll kind of go over in a little bit here, is, you know, doing a postmortem to figure out, did this work? Did it not? And if it didn't, why not? And can we do it differently next time? So you want to think about that. You know, don't just delegate to somebody, let them fuck it up, and then never give them a chance again. Okay? That's the biggest thing. And I'm not going to get into this story, but I'm all about second chances. And third, and fourth. And I'm a little bit too generous with chances, but really, at least a second. Like, promise me that, okay? Now, when you're thinking about to hire or to outsource, I'm going to try to speed through this one. Does this need one person or a team? Is this a task or a role, okay? Is this something that you're consistently doing? Is this a recurring task? Is this a one-time task? That's going to help you determine if this is something that you just need to get done, you need to get that done now, it's just one time, whatever. Or is this something that I actually need a team? Like, I need to hire a marketing team. Like, we're always the most productive person, right? Like, I am, like, three people in one. I'm fantastic. And so I just need to be replaced with a team, right? No, there are things where you might be doing them, but you're probably, because you're wearing all of the hats, which who here wears, like, three hats, four hats, five hats, six hats? We're going to make that a game next year. When you're wearing all of the hats, it is literally impossible for you to give all of them 100%. And so it is very possible. It's not, again, the audacity that you think that you should be replaced with a team. It's that I can guarantee you, and I know for a fact, I am not doing everything at 100%. But if I got a team and they could do it at 100%, it would be a lot better. Do you have processes for what you need to delegate? If you don't, go see the workflow queen. Hey. Hey, Alyssa, you're watching at home. It's true, though. So, you know, we have processes. They always need, they're like ever changing. You have to always like kind of keep touch on them, right? If you don't have processes, you can literally buy them. Just do that. Delegate your processes, man. It's all the same. You're not doing anything special in your bookkeeping that the rest of us aren't doing in this room. We all took bookkeeper launch. We just wrote it down, right? So buy your processes, just be done with it. Don't recreate the wheel, it's worth the money. And if you don't have processes, that's okay. And I'm gonna tell just like a quick story, everybody's gonna be like, yeah. I recently hired a position at the beginning of the year called our client success manager. And I had a dream, and I that's like how I do most things. And I like woke up and I was like, hey, like we need to have this department that just does all of our onboarding. I suck at it. That's the terrible at thing. We also had three people onboarding. It was a whole thing. Anyway, I didn't have a process for this. We had like an onboarding process, but I didn't have like a process for the role of like what it would be. I didn't have a job description. I didn't know, like, is this a full-time job? Like, is it not? Like, is it only a full-time job if we're bringing on a bunch of clients? Like, I had no idea. So I was super honest. And I said, hey, Abby, I'm hiring you for a thing that I have no idea what it is. And I'd like you to figure that out. And then I'd like you to write it down. And so that's literally, if you don't have a process, just be honest about it. What's really annoying is when you say, yeah, I know exactly what we're doing, and I know exactly what your job's going to be, and then they show up and they realize you're a shit show. Everybody that knows me and everybody that works with me knows that I'm a shit show, and I'm really honest about it. And that's what you need to do, is if you don't have processes, it's okay. But tell those people that's part of what you need help with. Everyone likes transparency. And then what is the time commitment? Again, is this a little task? Is this, you know, a big task? You know, all of that. All right, how to effectively delegate. We're running short on time. You need to achieve buy-in. Do you guys think that delegation is important? Can I get a woo-hoo? Woo! Yeah, well, if your team doesn't, they're not going to do shit about it, okay? So that's the thing, is you need to achieve buy-in. Give them this slide deck. If you want to go back and delegate, just give them this slide deck and be like, look what she said, it worked. All right? But the big thing is that you need to clarify success. And this is where a lot of people go wrong. All right, Rachel, I need you to invoice clients, right? When? How? What does it look like? You know, what is success when it comes to invoicing clients? It's doing it on time. It's doing it correctly. What is the task? How is how the task completed important? Okay, is how it's done. Because everybody thinks like, okay, I do it this way, so it needs to be done this way. But at the end of the day, if you're going to reach the same destination, does it matter how they get there? So I invoice clients on the 5th. So you have to invoice clients on the 5th. Well, that might be important if it's in your contract. But if Rachel invoices the clients on the 4th, is that the worst thing that's ever going to happen? No, because she doesn't work on the 5th. For whatever reason, I don't know, that's not true, but it would be true. Are the proper resources being provided? When should the task be completed? And how is success measured? Who likes to do things and, you know, not know when it ends and if you succeeded? I'm just like, whatever, it's just like, it just keeps going. Don't know when I'm done, don't know if I'm successful, just kind of like, whatever. No, like your team wants to know what the end result is. Again, if you don't know what the end result is, nobody knows what they're doing. And then again, we just need to have a point of how to get there. Okay? Supportive communication. How and when should they ask questions? Are you the type of person that your people feel comfortable asking questions to? You have an open environment, right? Are you the type that you just don't want them to ask questions because they should already know what they're doing? Do they feel like, since you already answered the question at the beginning, they don't want to ask for clarification? Again, this is a big part of us and not them. We need to make it so that they feel comfortable asking for clarification. And it's okay. And it's okay also for the answer to change as you go. And you realize that maybe the process does need to be adapted. Okay? Are regular check-ins necessary, scheduled, and consistent? Who here time blocks? I time block putting chicken in my crock pot because I will forget if I don't. When you delegate a task, block off the time that you are going to follow up on that task as you do it. You're not going to remember if you have kids. Provide feedback. Constructive criticism is key, okay? It goes both ways. And so again, you need to make your team feel comfortable to tell you that you did a shitty job of delegating. And I mean, don't say that to your team. Like, they can do it to you, but you can't do it to them. And we're going to get through that in a minute. What could you do differently next time to make the delegation more successful? Did they enjoy the delegation? What did they need more of? What did they need less of? Okay, these are really important questions that you need to ask and you need to have that conversation, and you need to make it regular and consistent that when you delegate, you always have that conversation. Because at first, it's going to be awkward. It's going to be awkward, like, hey, do you like me? Did you like how I did that? And they're going to be like, And if you don't feel like you're an introvert, you don't want to have a conversation, well, that sucks. It needs to be a conversation. But you can start off with a survey. You can send out a Google form. I do this way too much. Like, it's an anonymous suggestion box, and then just Greg puts stuff about himself in it. All right. Positive reinforcement. Was anybody in the military besides Daniel? That has nothing to do with this, but thank you for your service. Public praise, private counsel. Okay? They might say that. I don't know. And so again, yes, you can give your team, when you delegate, constructive criticism, but it needs to be privately. You don't get on a call and talk about how Greg fucked everything up, although I do sometimes. But technically, he doesn't even work for me anymore. And then when it comes to positive reinforcement, you want to make that as loud as possible. Loud and consistent, and shout it from the rooftops. Your wins are everybody's wins. So it's not just, hey, Holly did a great job on this thing. Trevor, who's fantastic, who's not watching from home, but maybe we'll get this on recording, she makes our company newsletter. She hand draws the newsletter, and it just makes me so happy. And it's one of those things where it's like, hey, everybody, look at this amazing thing that Trevor created. We love it. Your wins are everybody's wins. Your team's wins are everybody's wins. You got to shout it from the rooftop. Okay? And so I just want to circle back to this again, because this is just one piece of delegating. This is one piece of the puzzle, right? But it's really where it starts. And the first is your mindset. So again, do you guys feel like you're like, oh yeah, I'm going to delegate now. I want to do it. I want to grow a seven-figure business, right? Ooh. All right. I don't believe you, so talk to me later. But you really do need to get yourself in the right mindset before you do this. If you're not bought into it, you're not going to commit to it. And if you're not going to do it correctly, it's not going to pay off. And you're going to be that person that gives somebody else a bad experience about delegation. Okay, I am being 100% honest when I say this is literally, you could just get rid of the rest of it. Like, get rid of, I just had to make it fancy. Like, I was like, oh, yeah, it's got to be, like, you know, five steps to growing a, you know, all that SEO bullshit. It's literally just delegate, like, but, like, do it right, okay? This is the key to growing a seven-figure bookkeeping business. You cannot do it by yourself. Can you do it by yourself? No, you can't, okay? And then I'm going to just briefly touch on these other points so that you know, like, what's coming. But development. When you delegate, it's going to free up your time, okay, to develop your team, to develop your culture, your company, to develop as a person, to develop your processes, to work on all the things that you're like, that would be a great idea, but I don't have time, right? To write your processes down. I think that when it comes to delegation specifically, so to develop your delegation in itself, okay? And that's where, when you're starting off, again, don't be a perfectionist. Just start doing it. Get your team bought in. Let them know, hey, this is new to me. I'm a micromanager, you know? I'm type A. I might not do this well. I might try to micromanage you. I need you to hold me accountable so that I don't, okay? And then when you get some things off your plate, develop to make yourself a better manager. Consistency. Again, when it comes to delegation, you need to consistently delegate, but this is everything. Everything. You need to show up when you don't want to. That is the key. It is not doing the sexy, fun things that only you want to do. How many times do we go to work and we're like, ooh, I don't want to do that. Oh, I'm tired. That's not the fun part of running a bookkeeping business. Oh, I got to go fire this person. Oh, I got to, like, meet that client. Like, you have to be consistent. And the best way that I do this, the best way that my team does this, is that we have, like, what Bob was saying about mission. Hey, Bob. Is this the right decision for my team? Is this the right decision for my client? Okay, and that's how we stay consistent to our mission. Is this the right thing for me and my team and for our clients? And that helps me stay on track when I'm not sure. Ben's getting fidgety. I got to hurry up. Growth. Oh, yeah, I forgot about that whole thing. You guys want to grow a business, right? Well, you can't do any of it until you delegate something. But once you do have these things down, when you can develop, when you can grow your team, this is not just talking about sales, okay? Yes, obviously we know, like, yeah, get the leads, you know, do the marketing, you know, get the sales, grow the actual business, but it's about internal growth. Growing your team, growing as a manager, growing as a person, and seeing what is possible, okay? The possibilities, they're endless. They're endless if you delegate. Like I said, I'm not done yet, okay? It's not going to be next year, okay? I'm just going to let that go right now. This year has been a whirlwind. It's not going to be next year, but I will be back, and I will tell you that we're at 3 million. And I already know it. Like, I know I will be back at BKX. It's not going to be next year. And if it is, whew, I'm going to be tired, okay? Like, I've just done the math. Like, that's, I don't want to do it. Like, Holly's like, please don't. But what could you do with just 2 more hours per week? So I have a challenge for you, and you're going to do it right now. I want you guys to get 2 hours a month. That's nothing, okay? And then for those of you that already have it, 2 hours a week, all right, that table. I know you. I want you to get 2 hours a week, okay? In 2 weeks, that starts now. So by the end of June, okay, the goal is for you to identify 2 hours of what you do that you don't need to be doing. The tidy, the tedious, the time-consuming, all that. The terrible app. Start with the terrible app. That's why you wrote it down. Start with that. You're just hindering your own business at this point, okay? And so scan this. This is so cool. This was Alyssa's idea. And I want you to delegate 2 hours of either monthly or weekly tasks by the end of June. Okay, and you're going to scan the QR code, and you're going to get a free task audit worksheet. This is so cool. It's not, like, super fancy, but I was really thrilled with myself in this. All right, I didn't actually delegate it. I tried to, but Greg's really expensive now because he's a subcontractor. And, yeah, I'm going to stop talking now. All right, also follow me on Instagram at Honing Consulting. But, yeah, scan this thing, and I don't know how to wrap this up except for I talk a lot. Thank you guys so much.
That's awesome. Thank you so much. Did a great job.
Thanks.
Thank you. Melissa Honan, thank you so much. That was great.